Chesapeake and Potomac 30, Marshall P. from North Carolina.
Hi, family. I'm Marsha P., and I'm an addict. Grateful to be here. Thank you to the convention committee for inviting me. I got the topic and thought, okay, sometimes it's like when you are given a topic that you really don't like talking about, or maybe feel like, you know, why did they choose me for that? But again, it's like I do have some experience in the area. And it doesn't always have to be about men or relationships. It's looking for love doesn't have a whole lot to do with sex. Mm-hmm. So what I want to tell you, I want to begin by saying that that's part of what we call misinformed, you know, being misinformed by something or not really quite understanding that. So I want to just start off and qualify a little bit and say that I'm just a small town country girl. Came out of the country in a little town called Concord, right outside of Charlotte. We didn't have much, my mom was the kind of mom that said that, you know, love each other. All you have is me, because she took care of 8 kids by herself. And so we didn't have a lot. I remember living in the projects and being upset that I didn't have some of the things that my friends had, you know, little two-parent households. I wanted that fantasy thing I had going on. But I also remember that my earliest remembrance as a child was being touched by a family member, and that touch made me feel like it was love, because once he touched me and told me that I was special, and he gave me a piece of Juicy Fruit chewing gum and said, because you're the special one, this will be between us. Don't tell anybody. I can't stand the smell of Juicy Fruit chewing gum today because of what that did for me. But that touch told me that he must love me, because that's what he told me. I'm telling y'all, looking for love in all the wrong places, out of my family. So again, coming up, growing up, not having stuff and wanting stuff and thinking that, you know, at some point I wanted out. So my way out of the hood was to join the military. I had a child at 15 years old, my first sexual experience, and I had this daughter. My mom was a strong country mother. She didn't play. I mean, I came up in a time where children was just kind of seen and not heard. You didn't talk around grown folk. All she had to do was just look at you, and you knew what time it was. I'm talking about growing up in the country when you didn't have nothing. See, everything we ate, we grew on the farm. My grandmother used to use me to push the pedals on that old sewing machine, because she had arthritis so bad that she would make us I'm talking about back in the time when my mother would call us in and we would stand up there and she would cut a pattern out of a newspaper and make you a Easter Sunday dress. Mm. We didn't have nothing but love. And so, I'm standing up there thinking about how, you know, rather than at the time, not knowing that what we didn't have wasn't as important, she was doing the very best that she could. And so here I am growing up at this time where I want things, but this sexual experience with this daughter. So my mother said, no, I knew she didn't believe in abortion. So she said, you stay in school and you do what you got to do. So here I was, I had my only child, and I finished school on time, and I saw this commercial on TV, and it said, be all you can be. So it said, Uncle Sam wants you. And I remember thinking, there's a whole lot of men in there looking for love in all the wrong places. Let me start out with that. So I went into it's what they call a delayed entry program with one of my best buddies. We're going to join the military to get out of the hood. You know, by this time, we looking for ways to take care of my mom. 5 of my brothers, I have 5 brothers. 4 of them are already in the military. And so they had told me, if you're going in, you better do a good job. Don't mess up our good name. Because see, in the country, you didn't have nothing but your name. And so he said to me, if you're going to go in, don't mess up. Suck it up. Don't go on sick call. Make sure you don't bring no attention to yourself and be a good soldier. And because I had been in a family where I knew how to take orders, because again, my mother didn't play. See, that was during the time that the neighborhood could raise you. You know how you get the neighbor beat you, and then, you know, you see, you, I mean, you get, when your mama get home, she tell her, and you get another beating. And my mama thanked her for beating us. So, you know, it was that kind of thing. So here I am now. I'm in the military. And the military was very easy for me because I was coming from a time where you just take orders. You just do what you need to do. Them four brothers of mine had told me don't mess up. You know, so here I was in the military doing really well. I was a mean little tough soldier. I always was a good looking soldier. What I mean by that, I wore spit shine boots and I had a lot of decorations on me because I made rank pretty fast. I came in, I came in as a private. I went to a high stripe buck sergeant, little tough sergeant. I'm over there, I'm running around in Fort Hood, Texas. I'm in bomb holding, wild flicking. I'm over there, they call it the Rock. You know, I'm hanging out with 11 Bravos. I'm not a clerk. I'm not a medic. I'm hanging out with them frontline soldiers. Yeah. You know, 76 Yankees. I'm talking about hanging out. You know, I'm playing straight up Rambo Dean. I don't even know why I'm out there, but I'm out there. So I'm hanging out in the woods with these people. And again, I do very well because I know how to take orders. And so now I get the rank. You know, I go from that sergeant. And so now I do so well that, you know, when I'm hanging out with the guys in the field, they was passing around the canteen with alcohol in it. I didn't really like the taste of alcohol, you know. And then they passed around another white powder substance, and it was all right, but it made me sick. I remember throwing up. I said, I don't like this. I said, maybe this isn't for me. They said, well, if you don't throw up, that means it's not good.
Oh,
what the hell? I didn't know I was doing heroin. So then, it wasn't until they passed around that next white powdered substance that I found my drug of choice. I found something I could still show up in the platoon. I could still show up in the orderly room. I could still show up in my company, and my company commander didn't know that I had to cross somewhere that invisible line of recreational into really needing it. And so now I'm trying to hide this thing. I'm over in Germany. They said, well, we got one last duty station for you because again, I was a pretty good soldier. So they give me my assignment. Now they send me to OCS up in Fort Meade, Maryland. So now I'm wearing second lieutenant bars. I got people saluting me. They think I'm real smart. I work at the Department of Defense. They assigned me to the Pentagon. I got them top secret documents out, and I kind of got it going on. So I want to tell y'all today a little bit about in the military, they had a lot of marches, and when they used to have this march called Mock Time. So in a company, when there's 200 people in the company, we would be marching, and Mock Time was when you would march in place. And it was a good looking thing when you got people in unison marching at the same time. But I want to tell you today about a 12-year run where I was just mocking time. Mock time means you don't go nowhere. See, I was stuck like Chuck because I had become a hot mess and I was running around doing crazy stuff and I got out of the military just on a whim. I'm talking about they never found out about all that stuff I was doing. I got an honorable discharge. Wasn't nothing but God. People looking out for me during that time because I didn't, you know, I'm like, you know how we just going to do, we just going to cross the bridge. I'm going to tell y'all, I'm stationed on Fort Meade. I'm working at the Department of Defense at the Pentagon. Lieutenant Colonel Fulbert's got some important stuff to do, but I'm crossing that bridge going in Southeast D.C. I'm going across the bridge. Now, I don't know about nobody else, and somebody here probably know what I'm talking about. See, you know how we used to use on the weekends. Well, now I got the top secret documents out. I want to get over there and get back before it gets too late. So I just need to go over there and get one. Y'all know one is too many. But I had this, in D.C. they got something called the HOV lane. You can get in the fast lane as long as you got two people in the car or as long as you got a carpool. So I get smart. I'm an addict. I get smart. I go get me a life-size dummy. I put the dummy in the car with me, put the seat belt on the dummy, turn the dummy head like this, threw the dummy hand up. Me and dummy go across the bridge. See, we go over there on Martin Luther King. I pull up over there. See, I'm talking about I'm one of them addicts. I'm over there by the ship boat. I'm down there off of Benning Road. I'm down there behind the Quonset. I'm talking about I'm going over there as a cop. So I'm on Martin Luther King, and I remember getting over there trying to get back across the bridge, and I roll up on the little dope boy. You know, I said this. I was always, you know, needing something extra. You know, it was always my birthday. I told the little guy, I said, I need 3 for $50. You know, can you help me? I said, I need a little something extra. You know, the little guy looked in there at me. He looked at the dummy. He said, I'm going to give you an extra one for the dummy. I don't know if he's calling me or the mannequin, because both of us are real known. That's how I went to get mine. I'm talking about ways and means. So I'm running around D.C. acting crazy. So somewhere during all that craziness, I remember that I had a family in North Carolina, a praying family that, you know, that knew. So my sister lived out in Laurel, Maryland. She called my mama to say something was wrong and you might need to come up here and check on Marsha. So my little daughter was 7 years old. And I remember my mother, I was telling my sister, why you calling mama? You telling my business, you know, acting like, how you know I ain't doing that? You know how we be looking crazy. I was weighing about 89 pounds. You know, I'm talking about crazy. Had a half a perm in my bang, but like this. I'm talking about, when I came in here, y'all, I had blisters on both of my thumbs from lighting the lighter all night. I'm talking about like, my face was kind of twisted like this because I had something called Bell palsy and I couldn't straighten up my face. I'm talking about a hot mess, stuck like Chuck. You know, my mama showed up at my door and she said, I don't know what you're doing up here, but you're not going to put this baby through it. Because, see, I was up in D.C. running around northeast, northwest, Adams Morgan, going back and forth across the bridge. See, I could kind of maneuver in that area without nobody knowing who I was. But when you go home to the country, where everybody's some kin to you, you can't hide that stuff. So my mama came and took my daughter when she was 7. By the time I put down the stem, the antenna, the can, the bottle, by the time I got through with it, she was 17 years old. So I'm going back home. I said, they can't be getting high like this in the country. Let me just do this geographical and make it down there. Because I'm still looking for love in all the wrong places. I come on back home thinking it's going to be a little different. My daughter's head cocked to the side. She's 17. You ain't my mama. You ain't never did nothing. She done grew up without me. I done missed every important day of that girl's life. So I'm back home doing what I do, shaking and baking, walking around, can't hide it. I'm saying all that to say I left home as a hero and I came back a zero. Ashamed of who I had become. Isn't that the girl that used to be in the military? Didn't she used to do? See, y'all, I didn't know how to say no. My daughter used to say, Mama, can't you just stop? My daughter was making straight A's. She was a valedictorian. They had given her a scholarship to the best engineering school in North Carolina. I never hugged her. I never thanked her. I never told her how much I was proud of her because I didn't have it in me. I was so busy running around doing what I had to do, jumping in and out of them cars, selling my food stamps. I'm talking about getting high with people I was afraid of. Y'all know how we be in them houses. See, it wasn't but one rule when you smoke crack cocaine. It's just, you know, nobody move, nobody get hurt. Period. You couldn't make no noise. I mean, I was in them places where, you know, somebody was picking up something off the floor. Somebody was peeping out the window. Somebody, you know, somebody was talking too much and somebody couldn't talk at all. Everybody be, you know, after a while, you know, somebody looking at, you know, somebody was looking for the police and the rest of them thought you was the police. I'm talking about getting high when it didn't feel good no more. Yes. The first one didn't even feel good. So now I'm stuck. Y'all know how we do. So at the end of my road, I'm going to close this up and tell you that during that time, I come on back home and I do what I got to do. You know, I'm one of them addicts. You know, it ain't really that bad yet. I'm over there with the dope man. He in my apartment cutting up the package. Y'all know at this time, you know, he ain't giving me an 8-ball or nothing like that. I'm waiting for the shake. Y'all know how somebody cut the package up, and I just want the crumbs that's left on the plate. So I'm in my little apartment looking, waiting on the crumbs. My daughter show up 3 o'clock in the morning because she always stayed with my mom and my brother. I didn't want her to see her classmates because she was always, Mom, somebody on the bus told me there was a... See, because I was doing them little 15 and 16 and 17-year-old boys that went to school with my child. So I'm waiting on the shake. She show up 3 o'clock in the morning. Mom, I just want to stay in my room tonight. What are you doing over here? Because I don't want to spook the dealer who's cutting the package up. You know, okay, just don't make no noise. I'm going to let you come in, but don't make no noise. Well, y'all know the first thing she did was made some noise because she wanted him out of there, whoever it was. And so I told him, I said, hold on. I said, let me go get rid of my child. 3 o'clock in the morning to this 17-year-old. Let me get rid of her. And you know, me and you can go ahead and do what we do. You know what I'm saying? So I go out there and tell her, okay, come on in. You know, don't make no noise. And of course, soon as I put that person on there, she made a lot of noise. So I told him, I said, you hold up. Because see, I had to do my act with him so I could get what I had to get. You know, and I said, you gotta go, girl. Come on now. I told you don't make no noise. She said, Mama, don't send me back over there because he molesting me. Mm. He's taking advantage of me. He making me touch him. Mm. And I looked my baby in her eyes. And I told her, I said, you need to go back over there for a little while. And I'll come and get you. See, I don't know what your bottom was. I'm telling you, at the end of my road, I was out there looking for love. For one more.
crumb for one more push at the end of my road. I just wanted to stop, the pain to stop. And I remember that I'm not that bad because I'm not doing certain things. But I hadn't gone to jail. Mm-hmm. But then I remember standing in front of the judge, stepped up in front of the judge, handcuffed. I'm talking about having them shackles on my feet. I remember when he gave me them years in the penitentiary. And I said, you know, I'm Marshall P. I can do a nickel to a dime. I don't have a problem with that. I went and did that time, and every other bed in that prison was HIV positive. I was thanking God for letting that cup pass me because I didn't have the virus. I kept coming up negative, but I had done everything there was to do that should have been. If life was fair, y'all know what would have happened. But I kept thanking God for not testing positive. But I come on in there, I come out of jail and do the same thing because y'all know we go back and do what's familiar. I didn't stop using after the penitentiary run. I came back and did what I had to do. But on the street, I remember that it at the end of my road, and this last night, see, I didn't know it was my last night. I had looked for love in all the wrong places and did what I had to do to get it. My reputation was so bad for doing what I had to do, because see, I was the kind of addict that was known for what I did with my mouth. I'm talking about ashamed of who I had become, this hollow person. And so now, I fall up in that house that last night. The lady said to me, I said, you know how I straighten the house, lady. They agree, you know, they don't rig, everything rigged. You don't get no smoke, they get everything. It's like all that old craziness that you do. Spent the most money to feel the worst I ever felt in my life. So here I am. And I hit it. And I heard a voice. I ain't talking about schizophrenia. I ain't talking about them voices. I ain't talking about them bells. I'm talking about the voice of God. I remember hearing him. If I could interpret it today, I would hear him say, you know, pick up your bed and follow me. Because I had been crippled for so long. If I could hear him, I think I heard him say, just go and sin no more. I remember I just wanted to touch the hem of his garment. I remember I wanted God to change me because something wasn't working no more. I broke the pipe. I broke the seal. I had broken them a lot of times. But this night, I felt different. And I walked down the street with my head down. I still had some money left. And I remember this car came by. See, he thought I was working. It was on a Friday night at 1 o'clock in the morning. She must be out. What else you going to be doing at 1 o'clock in the morning on a Friday? And he asked me what you need. I said, I don't need no money. I need some help. Can you help me? I got in the back of that man's car in the fetal position crying out to God. God, can you help me? Say, he dropped me off at the nearest detox. The lady looked out there and saw it was me. See, I had been to treatment 5 times. She said, see, people don't know when you're at the end of your road. She thought I was out of money running from somebody like always. And I remember I went in there and we don't have a bed. Can you come back? I'm crying and give me one more chance. And so they gave me the bed. They let one person out and gave me the bed and treatment. I'm thankful today for H&I. H&I brought the message in to the hospital where I was, because I always went to VA hospitals. And I remember I was sitting back there coughing up them black screens. Covered up, hadn't had nothing to eat but a dill pickle and maybe some chips. And I was hurting so bad, and I wanted to stop and stay stopped. I woke up that next morning, and the detox counselor was up front, and he was doing his little spiel, first things first. Easy does it. One day at a time, keep coming back. You know, and I remember sitting back there, you know, he said one thing that made me sit up in my seat. He said, only one of y'all, because it was 30 of us in that circle. He said, only one of y'all gonna make it. I sit up in my seat and looked around at everybody. I said, I feel so sorry for y'all. What's going on? I remember feeling different. And I looked at that girl. They told me recovery was about attraction. I had 95 days clean, holding on. 95 days. And I came to a celebration. The lady was picking up 3 years clean. I had never seen anything like that. 3 years? I got 95 days. They told me, you know, recovery is about attraction. I'm looking at her like, I'm attracted to her cake. And I really want that cake. I want my own cake. I want my own balloons. So whatever keep you coming back, keep coming. And so I just kept coming. And she, when she finished her speech, she had a medallion up. She said, well, the lady in the back, come up here and get this medallion and hold on to it for hope. I said, she don't even know me. The soldier next to me said, she's talking to you. I went up the aisle and got that chip. She laid it in my hand. She said, whatever you do, don't use. Hold on to this and give it back to me in 3 years. Trust the process. I didn't know what she meant. I took it. I read it. It said self-service, God and society. I was like, what does that mean? You know, I don't know what that means, but I held on to it. I wanted to use a whole lot of nights after that. But I said, oh, shit, I got that girl's thing I'm not supposed to use. So I held on to it. I look for her at every meeting. I look for her at every convention. I want to tell her, with 95 days, you planted that seed on me. I've been here 23 years. In closing, well, now you got some time. Now I got some time, my Marsha P. Everybody want to hear me. You got a spiritual message. I'm going to tell you something. Stuff going to go down with some time up in here. Life on life terms still show up with some time. So now you got time. Everybody get a chance to get your name on the tabloid. If you ain't been on the tabloid yet, you will be. So now you come in, you make a few mistakes. Oh, if you ain't did your newcomer, you will. Because I did. I was driving a drop-top Benz. He was getting off the detox van. I don't know what. Yeah, my sponsor say, baby. Then you come in. Oh, now I do a married man. Oh, I would never do a married man. Please. I did. Look, my turn. I did mine. And all of a sudden, it's like, you know, I had told him. I said, oh, wait a minute. Hold up. I said, you know, I can do you. You know, the book talks about justifying the most outrageous nonsense. Yeah. So I can do your wife. I don't know your wife. She ain't in the room. You know, you know, then I found out he was doing somebody else in the room. And I was like, y'all know now, hell, I want to write a country song. I mean, now I want to call your wife and tell her you cheating on us. You know, what the hell going on? You're going to have some issues come up clean. You're going to be character assassinated. Stuff going to happen. Your sponsor going to share one of your deepest, darkest secrets. You know, you're going to come down with some kind of fatal illness, maybe cancer or diabetes. You're going to lose houses, jobs. One of your children going to come out. Hell, you're going to come out. There's going to be a lot of stuff that go down up in this piece. I remember in last year, I'm in love. Now, I just told y'all I'm a country girl. Now, if I had to do a hashtag, it would be, if I give you some, we together. We together. Don't be trying to act like we ain't together because I'm from the country. We together. So me and this guy, we was together, you know, and, you know, the relationship's so wonderful. We dressing alike and everybody like us. And so now, you know, the relationship over before I say it's over. He with a new girl. I'm like, what do you mean you moving on? We don't want people until they got somebody else. Cause I'm always looking for love in the wrong places. So I pick him. He's powerful and everybody like him. So now he moving on with the new girl. She's tall and slim and got long hair and the bitch hair real. I'm gonna tell that mother. I'm sitting back there. I want them to die. In every meeting, I'm planning their death. I'm telling you, you choose a sponsor who can help you through, because all she told me was, Marsha P, you keep coming. So I had to come when it was painful. I had to come when those relationships didn't work out. I had to come whenever I wanted, you know, when I look for love in the place to see, whenever you start giving more than you're receiving. I'm talking about accepting the unacceptable. You got to get in place and get what God has for you. Because when it came down to it, I needed to stand still and put on my whole suit of armor. So he could tell me, remind me, I saved you for something special, girl. You ain't got to worry about running around here looking for love. You need to look within yourself. Whenever you get all right with who you are on the inside, you won't be running around looking for love in all the wrong places. You'll be all right with who you are. And so now I'm grounded. And now I've been around here long enough and it don't take somebody else to make me feel good about who I am. You know, so what? I got a few issues. We all gonna have a few issues. I did that time in the military a long time. I'm retired from the military. I know there's a God because he took me from being homeless to being a homeless program director. He took me from having that little raggedy car to driving them high-end cars. It ain't about that paying that payment. I can always make them payments, but maintenance. I'm telling you, recovery is about maintenance. That 10th, 11th, and 12th step. You know, you can get in here, but can you stay? Can you stay when it's not comfortable no more? When you're hurting? And so now today, guys, I keep coming. And in closing, my mother loved me more than anybody in life and put up with everything I had ever done. And my mom gave me a card on my 15th anniversary. And she said, Marcy, I'm so proud of you. She said, I'm so glad. And she told me there's a leak in this old building. And I remember, she said to me, I'm thankful that you go to them classes, because she called recovery classes. You keep going to them classes. I'm proud of you. 10 days later, she was gone. My heart had never been broken like that. I shared about it in the room so much, and I know y'all was tired of hearing me talk about it, but I loved it so much. And I remember I was talking about it, and y'all was dropping y'all heads, and my sponsor looked at me, she said, baby, you talk about it, or you smoke about it. And I didn't want to smoke no more. So I kept coming. It's called the therapeutic value. Because you're going to hear your story in this room. Just keep coming. And the ones who had lost loved ones, it made me continue to come. So at the end, they told me, clean house, trust God, and serve others. Clean house just means stop lying, cheating, and stealing. Don't be coming up here still picking up medallions and chips and you know you're still using. You know, get clean. Don't come to a convention and don't register. Don't be buying no outfit and take it back tomorrow. My sponsor taught me principalities. Come in here and do the right thing. Clean house. Trust God, the God of your understanding. I'm talking about for me, it's about the blood. The God I serve, it's about the blood for me. It don't mean that you gotta be upset whenever I talk about my God. I'm telling you what saved me. Reach way down. Old folks say they reach way down to get an addict like me. Clean house, trust God, service. Service is what I'm doing today. The convention logo, the topic of our convention this time, it was what service is, the posture of our heart. Service, your posture should be upright, straight, do what it is right. Don't be waiting. You need to touch somebody who's looking scared. Get with them little girls wearing them Tina Turner skirts that don't know how to stay clean. Take her home. When was the last time you was nice to a newcomer? I'm telling you, come, do the right thing, stay here. They told me in the end that the broader the base, the higher the point of freedom. Thank you.
Oh, Lord, he's breathing up.